Good morning, everyone. Great to see you this morning. It's raining out, and the snow is melting, and the sun is shining, even after supper time. These are good days. These are good days. Have you ever looked at Jonah's prayer as being a prayer of praise? I want you to chew on that. I want you to think about that as we get into this and we look at exactly where Jonah finds himself, and the direction he's headed, the direction his life takes, and the direction that God has for him. But before we do that, I want to ask another question. How are you with directions? There's a great little video that has a young man who is following directions. And it kind of goes like this. Okay, you have in front of you a piece of paper and an ink marker and a pair of scissors. And so with the paper, we're going to draw a circle. And so the gentleman quickly grabs the ink marker and he draws a circle and says, but we're going to do that later. So just set the marker to the side. And then he doesn't know what to do. And once we've drawn the circle, we're going to cut with the scissors. And of course, what does the young man do? He grabs the scissors and he starts cutting around the circle. But we're not going to cut around the circle. So set the scissors to the side. We'll be using those a little later, right? And man, oh man, oh man, I can't help but watch that little video. You can find it on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, X, whatever it's called. You can find those videos quite readily with a search. But I want to ask, how are you with directions? Do you receive them delightfully? Do you perform them diligently? Do you finish them dutifully? You know, God gave Jonah things to do. It's very clear in the passage exactly what God has given Jonah to do. He's a prophet, and he's a prophet with a message to go directly to Nineveh and to speak to them of their need of salvation. Would it surprise you if I told you that God has things for you to do too? Now, I didn't think much of it at the time, apart from wondering if my cousin was going to get in trouble and whether or not that meant that I was going to get into trouble being the older one in the group. It was sometime in April. The ice on Sammy Brook, the little brook that ran through the property that I lived in, well, the ice had broke on Sammy Brook, and, well, this normally laid-back and rather pedestrian stream at this time of year would turn into a real whitewater spectacle, well, at least for a 10 to 12-year-old boy. Well, there was no other place I was spending my Saturday. We were going to be prospecting up and down the east and west sides of the river as we traversed upstream in search of the source of Sammy Brook. Well, during the spring thaw and runoff, the brook could become a bit of a show for a trio of boys. So here we were, my cousin Travis, my closest young friend that I had growing up. He was about the same age as me, and my newest neighbor, my dad's brother's oldest son, my new friend on the street, Aaron, who is also my cousin, and happens to be quite a bit younger than both Travis and myself. Everything was great as we made our way through the woods until we got to the fallen tree bridge that we would have to traverse to get back home. Well, I went first because I was oldest, followed by Travis, and everything was going great until Aaron, my younger cousin, fell into the brook. Well, early on in our travels, I remember him informing us that his hands were freezing because he, as he often did, didn't wear any mittens or gloves. And I can remember probably saying something rather unhelpful to him. And I remember him taking his arms and actually pulling them right out of his sleeves of his coat so that he had his hands and his arms right in his jacket like this. So kind of in a way making his jacket into a bit of a straight jacket. Well, that pretty much, well, not pretty much, it did make his arms non-existent and very useless. Well, down he went, losing his balance, winter coat, rubber boots, and all, down into the icy water. And it was icy. Aaron was in distress. Well, where do we find Jonah as we pick up our story here in the text? Well, as Adam such wonderfully told us last week and shared with us, Jonah was going down further down because of his disobedience. The text here depicts Jonah descending down to Joppa, to the port, down to a ship at the port, launching out on the Mediterranean in exactly the opposite direction to where God had wanted him to go. And then upon going down to Joppa and down to the ship, we even read that Jonah goes down into the ship, and then Jonah lays down to sleep. And now we read in our passage, following in chapter 1 and then concluding in chapter 2, we read that now Jonah is down into the depths of the ocean. Well, Tim Keller writes that it's not until Jonah was all the way down, finally stripped of his own buoyant self-sufficiency, that deliverance was even possible for Jonah. See, there was a fatal flaw in Jonah's character, and it had hidden itself as long as life was going well. And it was only through complete failure that Jonah could begin to see it and even think about a change. Now, it's not that Jonah didn't know what he was supposed to be doing, right? Did he receive this direction delightfully? Did he perform what God was asking him to do diligently? Did he finish it dutifully? Do you suppose he thought about any of that as he sunk deeper and deeper into the sea? Maybe. The text really doesn't, in a way, tell us exactly what, you know, you hear these stories of, you know, well, and that's when my whole life flashed before my eyes. Well, maybe Jonah had one of those life flashing moments. We do know that Jonah cries out to God to save his very life. Now, John Maxwell, the leadership guru, who I've had the privilege of actually meeting personally a couple of times, he's a pretty fascinating and super, super great and funny guy. Very insightful. He writes in his book, Failing Forward, that God uses people who fail because there ain't any other kind of people around. Jacob was not ready to lead his family. The family that God was going to give to him, the 12 sons who were going to be the 12 tribes of the nation. Well, he wasn't ready to do that. It's not until he's forced to flee home, experiencing years of mistreatment from his father-in-law, and eventually coming face to face with his estranged brother whom he had swindled out of his birthright. It's only then that we read of Jacob's encounter with God, where he meets God face to face. Abraham, Joseph, David, Elijah, and the Apostle Peter. All of these great individuals of the Bible, all these great leaders, they fail and they suffer. It seems that you can realize that Jesus is all you need when Jesus is all you have. And it seems that that is never the case, right? It seems that we can never realize that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is really all we have. Now, if Jonah is going to change direction in life, he first needs to stop. He, in a way, needs to hit bottom, right? Well, the same is true for us today. Because of our failures, because of our sins, we sink. For some of us, we stay afloat for a while, but really, how long are we going to be able to tread water? Eventually, everyone is overcome by the wind and the waves and the waters of life. Why? Well, because we fail. Because we're human. We're broken and sinful. And we are in need of a Savior. Now, something to point out here. God has a direction for Jonah's life, but it doesn't start by being at the bottom of himself. And God's direction in Jonah's life doesn't start when Jonah is at the bottom of the sea. It's where he needs to be. You know, I wish this were different in my own life, but the usual place that I learn God's grace in the most profound ways is when I'm at the bottom. But for Jonah, it's not simply being at the bottom that begins his change, but it's his prayer at the bottom. And it's in this prayer that Solomon has read to us today that God does something truly amazing. It's amazing grace. God saves Jonah in the most radical of ways. Jonah, you're going to hit the high seas to get away from me, are you? Well, here you go. Here are the seas. And God saves Jonah in the most radical of ways by having him cast into the sea and then swallowed by a great fish. Now, I don't know if you know this or not, but literally 3 weeks ago, a young man from Peru out sea kayaking with his father was swallowed by a humpback whale. Again, check it on Facebook. I so wanted to put it up here to show you all. I even contacted the source directly to get permission to show it, and of course, nobody got back to me. God saved Jonah in the most radical of ways. Let's throw him out in the sea, and in the depths, let's swallow him with a great fish. Jonah says, I called to the Lord in my distress, and he answered me. I cried out for help in the belly of Sheol. You heard my voice. You threw me into the depths. Now, these are Jonah's words. You threw me into the depths, into the heart of the seas, and the current overcame me. Jonah was in grave danger. He understands that his situation is indeed grave. He is in the middle of the Mediterranean, no boat, no life jacket. He is hapless, helpless, and hopelessly lost at sea. But God hears him. God has his eye on him. God has a plan and a direction for Jonah. James Bruckner, the theologian, writes here that, interestingly, the word for fish used here as Jonah prays inside the belly of the fish in our passage is the term used for reproductive operations of fish. And it's the term used, it's a reproductive term used in association with fish. Earlier on in the story, in chapter 1, the fish is referred to in the male sense. But here in Jonah's prayer, it's the reproductive associated term used. Bruckner continues on by saying, Jonah is about to be birthed again. Jonah is as good as dead, but rather than allowing Jonah to drown, God scoops him up in the fish. Jonah is hopeless unless God can deliver him. And in verse 9 of chapter 2, Jonah prays, and as he prays, he speaks of God's steadfast love. He speaks of God's grace. And it's in that moment, and it says, Jonah realizes that even in the belly of the fish, he has received a gift that he does not deserve. It's here that Jonah is released back into the land of the living. And quite a red carpet arrival, I might add, to be vomited upon the shore. We so easily can sing Amazing Grace without really understanding what it costs. God's grace becomes wondrous, humbling, and endlessly immense when we begin to fully grasp and believe that we actually deserve nothing but condemnation, that we are incapable of saving ourselves, and that it is God who saves us at infinite cost to himself. With Christ, we are rescued from the distress of the depths. And that's no fisherman's story. Jesus himself refers to the story of Jonah and compares it with the work that he is going to do for us and the work that he has done for us. in relation to Jonah's miraculous rescue. Well, luckily, there was an S-turn in Sammy Brook, right where the tree had fallen across its waterway. And Travis and I were able to run to the other end of the S, and I got down in the water, and Travis held on to me, and I reached out, and just as Aaron flew by, I reached out and grabbed the collar on his winter coat, and I drug him up onto the shore before he was carried away with the current. Well, we rushed home to my place, which was the closest, and that particular Saturday, my grandmother, my dad's mom, had come to visit, and believe it or not, my dad's mom, we always went to her place. She never came to our place, but just as it happened, she had been visiting that morning. Well, she took one look at my cousin and his blue lips and knew exactly what to do, and she immediately filled the bathtub with warm water and ordered Aaron to get undressed and to climb in. Well, we didn't wait for any of that. We took off. But we did do everything Graham told us to do, and Aaron was fine in the end, and I don't remember getting in a lot of trouble. I'm glad that everything turned out okay, and everyone was indeed fine in the end. Well, Jonah had gone in the wrong direction, but his prayer in verse 9 ends with a shout. Salvation comes only from the Lord. In Hebrew, this denotes possession. It's a possessive term. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Could God have saved Jonah in a different way? Probably. He used ravens with Elisha. He took money out of a fish's mouth to pay his taxes. There are lots of things that God could have done. But even while Jonah was disobedient and disobeying and heading in the wrong direction, God was already orchestrating and planning his salvation. And in the depths, and in the dark, with seaweed wrapped around his head, Jonah could declare that he will worship at the temple because salvation belongs to his God. And it's then and there that Jonah is saved. So I guess the real question is, will we choose the Lord? Because salvation belongs to him. Jonah needed the Lord, and we do too. May that be our direction today. May we be able to stand and truly sing with all our hearts, I will choose the Lord. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, Lord, you know what we're going through. Lord, you know what distress is currently befalling us. Lord, help us to fail forward. Lord, we know despite ourselves, we can have the best intentions. But Lord, our direction doesn't always line up with the direction that you want for us, that you love for us, that you've created for us, and you've purposed for us. And Lord, just like Jonah, we can get into places in life that'll take us deep down in the dark. Oh Lord, thank you that it's literally in the deep and the down and the dark that you rescue and save us. Father, if we're here today and we're in the midst of that deep dark of despair, Lord, help us to hear that we can call to you. And you hear us. There's a whale of a story that you're already putting in place. And Lord, whether we realize it or not, you're preparing us not only for this moment, but you're preparing us for what's next. Lord, may it be our prayer today. I will choose the Lord. I will trust the Lord. I will love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, and with all my strength. Lord, may that be our declaration today. Just as Jonah could shout, salvation belongs to the Lord. Lord, may we be able to shout today, I will choose, Lord, your direction for my life. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.